Chapter 1, in which the author, much to his surprise, finds himself holding down a job, a real job that could possibly lead to a career, which causes him considerable distress as he envisions his world reduced to swirling acronyms, whereupon his beguiling wife offers him another way, an escape, an alternate road, and together they decide to move to the distant islands of the South Pacific. I have been called many things in my life, but if there has been but one constant, one barb, one arrow flung my way time after time, it is the accusation that I am, in essence, nothing more than an escapist. Apparently this is bad, suspect, possibly even un-American. Mention to someone that, all things being equal, you'd really rather be on an island in the South Pacific, and they'll look at you quizzically, ponder the madness of the notion for a moment, and say, "But that's just escapism. Now would you kindly finish stocking the paper clips, so we have time to rearrange the highlighter markers? We need to make sure they're colour-coordinated." I'm not sure where this tendency came from. Escapism, we are led to believe, is evidence of a deficiency in character, a certain failure of temperament, and like so many isms, it is to be strenuously avoided. How do you expect to get ahead, people ask? But the question altogether misses the point. The escapist doesn't want to get ahead. He simply wants to get away. I understand this, for I am an unapologetic escapist. Once before, I had abandoned the life I knew in Washington, D.C., escaping the urgent din of the continental world for a distant atoll in the equatorial Pacific. I lived there for 2 years, never once looking at a clock, marvelling at what a strange turn my life had taken. I may have heat rash, I thought back then, and I might be hosting 8 different kinds of parasites, but at least I'm not some office drone. I had escaped, I thought mirthfully, as I tended to my septic infections. And then, suddenly, my life took another dramatic U-turn, and I once again found myself back in Washington, where every morning I was confronted by a debilitating decision. What tie to wear? The dissonance was overwhelming. One day I found myself pressed inside the Washington Metro, soaked through from a November rain, palpitating slightly as I realized I had an 8 a.m. meeting and it was presently 8:17 a.m., and just like that, it occurred to me that 6 months earlier I could be found paddling an outrigger canoe across the sun-dappled waters of a lagoon in the South Pacific. This had been happening for some time, this juxtaposition of my former life upon my present one, and the contrast never failed to leave me twitching in bafflement. How had this happened? Huddled on the subway, I lingered on the image for a moment, far away, envisioning the canopy of palm trees swaying in the near distance, the urgent leap of a flying fish, the fishermen in sailing canoes returning with their catch, the brilliant shimmering colours offered by a setting sun, until my reverie came to an abrupt end as the subway doors opened, and I was swept into the tumult of the rush-hour commute. It was a disconcerting sensation. Blue. Blue water, I thought in vain, as I was shepherded onto an escalator crowded with pasty-faced suits like myself, dejected already. I tried imagining swaying palm trees as I scurried through the rain toward my office at the World Bank, flashing the colour-coded ID card I kept tethered to my belt. Inside, I tried conjuring stress-free tropical living, once I found on my chair a dreaded note from my boss, "Please see me, 7:45 a.m. But the image was gone. Poof. How had this happened? I wondered again. For 2 years I had lived in Kiribati, a widely dispersed scattering of atolls at the end of the world, where I had led a rather lively and adventurous existence with my girlfriend Sylvia. And now I was right back where I started, in the real world, as some prefer to call it, wondering how I might leave it again. As I settled into my office, I noticed another note on top of my keyboard, scrawled by the office assistant. IFC meeting in WBIGF conference room. Where are you? 8:21 a.m. The message light on my phone blinked ominously. Sighing, I loped toward the conference room, pausing briefly to catch sight of my reflection in the window, and I noted with some interest that I looked like sodden vermin. It was not going to be a good day, I knew.